really appreciated that word from the Lord. God builds everything through a prophetic word. As we speak His word, He creates. As we declare it, the Lord confirms it and creates it in us. And we're going to look in Galatians chapter 4 and also Matthew chapter 6 this morning. And I'm just so thrilled with what I feel in the presence of the Lord. And it so supersedes anything that you may be going through on an individual level. When you get into a corporate atmosphere of praise and worship and an expression of faith towards God, it seems to melt away everything that you have personal issues with. How many have noticed that? Because see, in the kingdom of God, one of the things that's happening in the continuity of the kingdom is how God is creating a sense of community. We haven't really had that in America. In America, it's been more of a land of opportunity and individual freedom. And I like that. I like individual freedom and opportunity. But the kingdom is a little different, because in the kingdom of God, we're not independent. We're dependent, because we're no longer people that live by our own self-rule and self-will. We live by the will of another. And so it creates a whole different dynamic than it does in what we're raised up with in our society, because we're coming into a kingdom. And a kingdom has a function. It has a purpose. And when we begin to live for a greater purpose than what we live for as individuals, our life begins to have new meaning. One of the frustrating things about life is to live life without purpose. But the purpose of the kingdom is to bring us together as one people, so that we may be a reflection of who He is. Everybody say, we're reflecting the Lord. Jesus said, just as He is, so am I also upon the earth. Matthew chapter 6 is the Lord's Prayer. How many are very familiar with the Lord's Prayer? And in the Lord's Prayer, let's all read it together. I have the New King James Version. Whatever version you got, you can read it in your version, as long as it's not a weird version. Let's read it together. Our Father in heaven. Come on now. Our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And I have to add verse 14 in here. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So when Jesus said, this is how you pray, He's saying to them, we're going to establish a priority in your life so that you don't longer have to live by your own compass or your own direction. One of the great things about the kingdom is our submission to the Lordship of Christ. It simply takes us out of having to make the decisions that most people make. How many have found yourself getting in trouble by the decisions you make? Well, when you begin to yield yourself to the will of another, you no longer have to make the same decisions that you've made before. Your decisions are already predetermined. And that's exciting, because it really gives us then a perfect plan of response in every given situation. So I don't no longer have to think about, well, am I going to forgive? Am I going to bless? Am I going to love? Am I going to walk in unity? I don't have to make a decision anymore on whether any of those things are going to happen, because those decisions have already been made for me. Yes, I'm going to forgive, because that's the nature of Christ. Yes, I'm going to love, because God is love. Yes, I'm going to bless, because the Lord has come to bless and curse not. I was talking to someone the other day, and they said, well, you know, I just can't forgive that situation. And the more I talked to them about it, the angrier they got, just demonstrating the fact that they needed to forgive. Did you know that every one of your responses that come out of you are the direct result of how much of you lives and how much of he lives in you? When there's a response come out of you that's not a godly response, such as unforgiveness, cursing instead of blessing, condemnation, judging, when those responses come out of you, that's not his response, it's yours. So what does that tell you real quick? I need to come underneath his authority so I can speak his word. He can speak through me. Man, how perfect would it be if everything you spoke was what he wanted you to say instead of what you're wanting to say? Did you know that you really don't sin until it comes out of here? When it comes out of your mouth, that's when you really get caught. How many of you have ever had a disease called runoff at the mouth disease? It's nasty. Mouthwash won't cure it. Antibiotics won't take care of it. The only thing that will cure runoff at the mouth disease is when your tongue is bridled by the love of God. So Matthew chapter 6 talks about the first part. This is what I'm going to cover this morning, just this first little verse here. In this manner, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Everybody say, the name of the Lord, Jehovah. What does Jehovah mean? A lot of things. But we can define it as the right now God. Everybody say, Jehovah is the right now God. So when we deal with the Lord, we can't deal with him in the past or in the future, but we have to deal with him in the present. And what does religion do? Religion always passes the buck to what used to be or what's about to happen. Well, oh, I can't wait until we all get to heaven. Or, man, do you remember how it used to be in the good old days? Back when God moved. When the Lord's saying, I'm Jehovah, I want to move right now. I want to move today. And so we don't come in here, and I like what Charles was prophesying, we don't come in here with some mausoleum to where we're remembering the way things were. Because every time we come together, it's a new day. It's a declaration of a new day. We can't live on yesterday's manna or yesterday's blessing. For today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day when you come meet God right now. Well, boy, I met him last week. Man, that was wonderful. And it's kind of like preachers, you know. I can't come in here and say, man, I knocked it out of the park last month. So I can just lay an egg today and it'll be all right. No, you won't remember me knocking it out of the park last month. You'll walk away today, man, that guy stinks. Where do you ever think he got a call to preach? It's kind of like the football team. I mean, 1 minute, they're up, and boy, hook 'em horns. Next week, they not do so good. We're doing the horns down. Man, this team has gone to pot. It'll never resurface. It's shot. They ought to get rid of the coach. They ought to clean house over there. They ought to just do everything because, man, they messed up this game. See, that it's important to realize the only game you have is the game you have today. And if you're like looking back to what you used to be, it doesn't count. Remember not the former things no more, for the Lord will do something brand new in your life today. Amen. Oh. Galatians 4 says this, brethren, the fullness of the time had come. God sent forth his son. How many know that there was on a certain day his son came. What happened when his son stood that day and the dove descended from heaven, landed upon him? What was the voice that came from heaven? "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." That day, the Lord said, "This is he." So from that moment forward, that's who he was. Do you know the Lord has an appointed time for you to identify who you are, to tell you who you are? Most of you already know who you are. If you already know who you are, then why aren't you what you are? How many have some sense of perception of who you are in Christ? Is that who you are? Are you walking in that? That's the question. It's not a condemnation, but it's the question. Are you, and do you relate to Jehovah as Jehovah Tsidkenu? What does Jehovah Tsidkenu mean? It means the Lord God is my righteousness. So how many already know that God is your righteousness? How about the rest of you? What do you do? You're not listening, are you? How many know that God is your righteousness? So if God is your righteousness, then who are we? We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us to those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out. Now God sent this Spirit into your hearts so that you may cry out, "Abba, Father." Everybody say, God has sent his Spirit into my heart so I may cry out, "Abba, Father." So who is your father? Jehovah, the right now God, the same God, the same father that Jesus had. Guess what? Jesus is your father just like he was. I mean, the father is your father just like he was Jesus' father. I was watching Matthew come in over here. He was acting weird. Where's all you weird people come from anyway? They said, church is always a reflection of its pastor. They say, a wife is always a reflection of her husband. We know that ain't true. Some of you women don't want to be like your husbands, do you? More aptly, we should say, the husband should be like the wife. The reflection of the wife. I feel like dancing all of a sudden. So Jesus is saying, when you pray then, say, "Hallowed be thy name, our Father in heaven." But where does the Father want to get to? He wants to get to the earth in you. Did you know that the only way the Father can be revealed on the earth is through you? They can't build statues and monuments and say, "Here's the Father. Let's all go up to the Father's house and look at his statue." We'll go look at Abraham Lincoln, right? They might as well put one of the Father up there in Washington, D.C. This is the Father. So let's go look to the Father. Now, when we go to Abraham Lincoln's memorial, what do we want to get out of that? Oh, there's a great big statue of a man that lived 50 years ago. No, we want to say, I want the spirit, the essence of who Abraham Lincoln is to live in me. Yeah. Amen. I want to be able to stand up and declare freedom to the captives, just like he did. Well, when we go to the Father, what we're saying is that we want you, Father, to be in us just as you were in Jesus. How many know that our lives would be different if we had a revelation of the Father living in us? I think all of us have some bit of that revelation, but did you know it's an ever-expanding revelation of the fatherhood of God? That's why there's a progression in the kingdom. The kingdom of God births in the earth just like that, but yet it also births in progressive stages because it's the progression of growing up in Christ until we all come to the measure of the stature that's the fullness of Christ Jesus. See, your worst mistake is this when you come into the Lord, when you get a revelation. Do you think that your revelation is the only revelation? It's like when a couple falls in love, Will. They think, and it would speak for this Will, too. The Wills here are newlyweds. The Wills of this world think, this is the most wonderful woman that's ever lived on the face of the earth. No one has ever loved a woman the way I love mine. It's good to think that way, isn't it? Especially when you're a newlywed. It's good to think that way 6 months into the marriage and 6 years into the marriage and even 60 years into the marriage. This is the most wonderful person on the face of the earth. But see, the reality is, you don't really know that person yet. And the reality is, you don't really know who the Father is yet either. When you first come into Christ, you think, oh boy, this is the most exciting, thrilling, awesome thing that a person could ever experience. I've been redeemed from out from under the curse, and no longer is sin in my life, and I'm free. Hallelujah, I am free. And I just love the Father. Well, guess what? The Father loves you more than you love Him. So because He loves you so much, He's going to take you on a journey of maturation. Journey where you're going to be transformed from glory to glory and from image into image under the same image of who He is. So when the wash machine is all through running and you didn't realize that they'd put it on the agitation speed. When the washing machine is finally through with its tumultuous churning and turning and shaking and doing all this stuff, when I got this new washing machine, you put the clothes in there and they all kind of lay there flat. The first time or two we ran it, we both stood there for minutes watching this thing in amazement. Because you'd put the clothes in there and they'd all be kind of puffed up like this, and this thing would start going, kind of start shaking. And we'd look at it shaking, you know. This is cool. We'd never seen a machine do this. And it would shake this way, and it'd shake that way, and it'd spin this way, and it'd shake. This won't put any water in there. It's balancing the load. And after a few minutes, the load is balanced. And then it pops up and tells you how many minutes the load must run in order for it to be clean. Get it? Got it? Have you ever felt that you were that load of clothes? And the Lord turned on the cycle? Wow. But boy, once that machine runs its course, I mean, you have to close the lid because it's too painful to watch what happens to those clothes in that machine. They went in all dirty and wrinkled. They come out all clean. And God uses fabric softener. Yeah. Bet you didn't know that, did you? He also has a special wrinkle removal. And you come out on the other side of the cycle smelling so good. Man, I love to open that and after I put it in the dryer and you get those sheets out and you smell that downy. It's almost like you get high. You just stick your face in the pillow. And Sue told me the other day, she said, you can take your feather pillow and you can put it in the dryer. It's all mashed down because I mash it down and it'll fluff it up. I didn't know this. You're just now telling me after all these years. So I ran in and put my feather pillow in the dryer. And sure enough, it's all puffed up and fluffed up and warm. Put that pillowcase on there and go right to bed. And the Lord does this. He takes us and He perfects us. He is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the process of your development is so cool because when you're going through it, you don't understand it. But yet when you get through it, you say, oh, that's why I went through that. See, a lot of people come in and they get this revelation of faith and righteousness. And wow, man, I'm in faith, I'm in righteousness. And they don't understand that that's great. But God has to take this old nature and just wring it until there's nothing left of it. You say, well, I didn't realize I was going to go into issues. Well, you don't have to. The quicker you come into community of His kingdom and the revelation of your place in the kingdom, the less issues you have to deal with. It's weird how God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. That how you can literally transcend some of these washing machine steps by the response of your humility. I don't see in the kingdom where anything of us survives. He lays waste to us. And all in the revised in the kingdom is a people that say, Abba, Father. You are my Father. You are my Jehovah. But see, when you acknowledge the greatness of God in your life, it decreases your role of importance. As long as you feel like you have a role of importance, then you're in competition with who He is and what He wants to be in your life. I learned one thing. I don't want to be in competition with the Lord. He wins the race every time. And as much as I fight and box and train, I cannot win that battle. He wins every time. It's through my surrender that the Father is magnified in my life. Jesus said, I pray, Lord, that we be one, that just they be one just as we're one. As the Father and me are one, Lord, let them be also one with us. For He is my Jehovah. He is my righteousness. He is my sanctification. Jehovah Makedesh, which means that God has set me apart. The Lord has identified me and identified you, and He set us apart for His good work. Isn't it awesome that what God has begun in you, He'll also complete it with you if you'll just let Him. If you'll just say, Lord, do it unto me, He'll do it in for you. There's no limitations on how great He can be in you. You could be the lowliest of the low and the poorest of the poor. The dumb of the dumbest. But yet God could use you to shake the world when you have a revelation of Jehovah and who He is in you. There's no limitation on how great God can be in you. And he did it all because when he shed his blood, you see, when we come into this revelation of the Lord, we've got to come through this thing called the blood. Because the blood of Christ is what has atoned us and caused us to be made righteous in him. It's through that sacrifice. And I love what it says in Hebrews, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, he purges your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Purges you. And we talk a lot about this, don't we? We've spoken several times. I know Bill has spoken this. I've spoken on this. Others have spoken this here. About how God literally takes out of your consciousness sin. And I know that hair lifts the religious system when you talk about that. That we can be free from the consciousness of sin. But see, it's not that just that we can be, we must be. Because as long as we're new clothes that have come out of the machine, but we still think we're dirty, we'll never present ourselves as being new. We'll always present ourselves. It's like this morning when I came, I'm coming to church and I'm thinking, you know, this thought hit my mind. I'm not righteous enough to get up and preach. And then I had to rebuke that thought. No, I am the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. I can't go back this week and evaluate every one of my thoughts and deeds and actions and determine if that qualifies me or disqualifies me. I'm qualified not based upon who I am, but I'm qualified based upon who he is. And it's through his blood. The blood of Jesus, I've been cleansed from all my unrighteousness. Don't ever forget how you got here. It's because one man, an obedient son, hung on a cross, shed his blood for you. Don't ever forget when you're feeling a little bit cocky and a little bit full of it because something's working in your life, in the anointing of God, don't ever forget that you didn't get any of that by yourself. It all came because one man died and shed his blood for you. We owe him all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. For in us, there's nothing in ourselves that merits the favor of the Father except through the Son, Jesus Christ, and his shed blood on Calvary. That's what merits his favor. It's because of that blood that the Father can look upon me with adoration and say, this is my son. Because now that one son is birthing many sons through his obedience. You see, and it's through my same reflection of obedience that I can birth others to be sons. And you can birth others to be sons. When you represent the Father, you represent a standard, an incredible standard that you can never live up to. But he can live up to it through you. He can be everything he wants to be through earthen vessels. Vessels of clay can come forth the diamonds of God. All we've got to do is, yes, Lord, I yield myself to you. And to the purpose of your kingdom. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the earth that God is birthing a kingdom in, right here, right now, in you. It's a kingdom manifested. We're not a church. We're not a religion. We're not a denomination. We're not a movement. We are a kingdom. It's greater than the world has seen. It's that which is being birthed upon the earth in this hour. Don't sell yourself short and say, well, where do you go to church at? Or what group, what movement are you associated with? I'm not associated with any of that. I'm a part of the kingdom of God upon the earth. I'm not thinking small. I'm thinking with purpose and with destiny of who I am and what I'm becoming and what you're called to be. No greater call in this hour than the call that's being issued. It's a call from heaven. It's like a word fresh off of the press. It's saying, come up out of her, my people. Be not a partaker of her sins. It's the word that God's spoken to Babylon, to the children of Israel, as he's spoken to that captivity. He said, come out of that place that you've been in bondage to. Come out of that place that's restrained you. Come out of that place that's limited you. Come out of that place that's kept you down on the farm. And come back into the house of the Lord. Come back to the temple where there's a flowing of his glory and his anointing. This is the hour the Lord's saying, come out so that you can come in to the greatest thing that's been birthed upon the earth in the history of the church. Say, well, boy, if we could just get to be like the day of Pentecost. No, we don't want that. There's something greater coming. What's coming now is greater than the day of Pentecost. It's called the kingdom, which you're a part of. Welcome to the kingdom. Welcome to the kingdom. Man, I've probably preached this word 100 times. But I love preaching it 100 more. But in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been made near by the blood of Christ. Amen. And what did he do? He seated you in heavenly places, right there next to Jehovah, seated with Christ, who's ever making intercession. What is Christ interceding for upon the earth? Lord, birth the same thing that is in you and I, in them. Lord, birth that which is in you and which is in I, in them. Lord, birth that in them. Wow. Could it really be happening? Could it really be the hour that the church for 2,000 years, could it really be Romans 8? That all creation that's been subjected to futility, that's been groaning together unto now, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, could this be the hour that the sons of God manifest upon the earth? Could it be this hour that we've become finally so purged from this religious bondage that we're so free now that we're understanding that our freedom was never given so that we could just be free? Our freedom has been given so that we might become a people unto God. See, when you ever use your freedom as an occasion to demonstrate to someone else how free you are, you're not really free at all. But when you use your freedom to demonstrate to someone else how much God loves them, then you're free. Don't use your own freedom as an occasion for your own flesh, but use your freedom to serve one another. When God sees the servant's heart that he put in his son Jesus manifesting in you, it puts a big old smile on his face. When he washed their feet and said, unless you do this, unless you cleanse one another. He said, the word I speak to you cleanses you, but now you've got to cleanse one another. When you start doing that, then you're truly there. When all of a sudden your life only has meaning when you can give life to others. When you begin to exist to be a blessing, then you're really free. When you come in and say, how can I serve? How can I bless? How can I love? How can I forgive? How can I let me, Lord, do all of this? The Lord said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. It's not the one that come in and says, oh, look at me. I'm a man of faith and power. Look at me. I'm skilled in the word. Look at me. I've got a lot of money to give. Look at me. I'm a great teacher. No, when you come in and wash the feet, the Lord said, this is my sons, the ones that love me, the ones that say, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Makedesh, Jehovah Shalom, our peace has broken down the wall of division between us. Jehovah Rapha, our healer, who's come to heal our broken hearts, restore our wounded souls, and heal our wounded bodies. Hallelujah. Jehovah Nissi. He's the banner over us. A banner that takes us into the, leads us into the war where we've triumphed over the enemy. But the banner that spreads out as we spread this morning a banner in front of us, a banner of love that says if everything else identifies us, when we take our banners, it won't be so much a banner of swords in this hour, but it'll be a banner of love. Because this is the kingdom where they'll beat their swords into plowshares and the lamb will lay down with the lion. It won't be the church as you've known it. See, I keep getting this gravitational pull. Something wants to keep pulling me back into the church as we've known it. But the Lord said, you'll never be there again. Yeah. Never again. Because what I have for you is the kingdom. It's not just the church. I love the church. But I thank God that the church is birthing a kingdom. Yeah. It's an awesome kingdom. Wow. I'm having fun this morning. He's Jehovah Jireh. What does that mean? My provider. How many believe that God provides? He's the bread of life. Everything we need, taste and see, the Lord is good. We just reach up and munch on the Lord. Oh my goodness. He's the bread of life. He's the water. He's everything we need. Jesus is my provider. But the last one that I love the best, Jehovah Rahi, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. Woo! Why does he do all that? Because he is our shepherd. Do you know what the world's looking for in this hour? Shepherds. What is a shepherd? Shepherds are men and women after God's own heart. They have only one interest and one interest only is what Jesus said to Peter. Do you really love me, Peter? Of course I do. Then if you really love me, feed my sheep. The Lord loves shepherds. Say, well, Pastor, you're the shepherd. I'm one of them. But what are you? Everybody say, we're also shepherds. Do you know, Lord is, you might not be what we call a quote, quote, unquote, senior pastor, you know, whatever that is, but you can be a shepherd, right? A shepherd loves the sheep, feeds the sheep, tends to the sheep. How many know there's a lot of sheep out there that we haven't seen yet that are we're going to see? We're going to need lots of shepherds. The harvest is coming. Everyone say, the harvest is coming. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. The harvest is coming. There's thousands upon tens of thousands of people, even in this county, that need shepherds.
Well, we'll bring them to the church and you can, Bill, the Anderbush can deal with it. We'll let Darren do it. No. It's you. I'm sorry. You are appointed by God in this hour to do the work of the ministry. You got it. Here's the ball that I'm going to pass. Everybody say, one, two, three, catch. You got it. He didn't say, Bill Hart, Bill Vanderbush, and Darren Shaw, because y'all get paid, you pray this prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. He didn't tell us a few people to pray that. He said all of us pray it. Because all of us are to have a revelation of the greatness of the Father in you, in us. Everybody say, Christ in me. Christ in me is the hope of glory. I am the manifest will of God to the earth in this hour. I will move out of this place into the world, and I will evangelize the nations, making disciples of them, teaching them to observe all the ways of the Lord, bringing them into His kingdom.